to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We are in the second half of our program today where we are talking about marriage miracles. We're going to take a look at our second favorite book, Facebook, in a little while. We usually do that right now. But before we left you, we were in the midst of a call with Michelle from North Carolina. We are going to rejoin Michelle at this time. Michelle, good morning. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
Awesome. Thank you.
Now, as I indicated about the broken nose part, let me first say this. When I got married, I gave my vows to God first.
Okay.
And then to my husband. So I felt like anything I did against him, I would be doing it against God first.
Okay.
So I went through the entire process with him. I sowed my seed offerings and things of that nature. Now, everything that I told him that could happen, my husband was very combative and reluctant to believing. But I'm a firm believer that my husband was made whole through me.
Okay.
So when we went before the judge, like I said, he was looking at 35 years to life. They sentenced him to 18. They had never had anyone whose sentence was reduced so much by a judge. Not only was he given the 18 years, but he was allowed to go home and turn himself in a week later.
Wow.
Now, during this time, 4 months in, all I wanted was my marriage because I've been with this man at this point. We were together for 12 years. So I still wanted my marriage. I still wanted to be there and be supportive. 4 months into him being gone, he wrote me a letter about another young lady that he had been dealing with.
Okay.
Now, to add insult to injury, this was the same young woman that he called the night that he broke my nose and told her what he had done.
So hold on a second, Michelle. So you are standing by your husband, you know,
right.
Not, you know, doing, going above and beyond because you've seen, okay, I'm doing what God wants me to do and I love my husband. I want my marriage to work. He doesn't say anything, you know, breaks your nose, calls this young lady, ends up going to prison. And then a few months later writes you and tells you all this?
Right. Well, he didn't tell me about him telling her what he had done to me. I later found that out through the gentleman that she was dating.
Mm.
How ironic is that the gentleman said, you and your husband got into a fight December 18th. And I was like, yeah, how do you know? He said, because I was dating the young lady that he called that night.
Mm.
And that was my birthday.
Wow.
So to add insult to my injury, you know, I went back and forth, but I began to rebel and get away from God because I was so hurt and distraught and embarrassed. The whole point was that I didn't want to fail my marriage. I didn't want to fail my children. But glory be to God, still now to this day, I still put $500 every tax year on his books.
Mm.
I'm still there for him now at this very present. And what it was, what brought me back to that place was Peter, 1 Peter, the third chapter, where it speaks about wives and husbands. And I decided that I wasn't going to worry about what he did or didn't do as far as I needed to be accountable for what I was supposed to be doing.
Wow.
And my husband is now learning that unconditional love. See, you have to understand, people only love as much as they've actually been introduced to. Mm-hmm. My husband wasn't brought up in a loving home. He was never told, I love you, by his parents. So he didn't know what that was. So for him to actually receive unconditional love through me, from me, by me, but it's not me, it's God.
Now, Michelle, and again, you know we have limited time here. I have a concern, and I don't know if you're ready to hear it or not, but I do have a concern.
I'm ready.
Okay. You know, a lot of times, and in situations like yours, and God bless your heart, I think you have an amazing heart in loving your husband. But sometimes, you know, and Melissa mentioned this earlier, you know, the Bible does teach that the heart is deceitful. So sometimes we feel like, all right, we're doing this for God, but there's a hope of getting something in return. You know, like I do this for God, I hang in there, my husband will turn around. You know, the reality is, and again, I don't know your husband, but his actions speak very loud. And for him to abuse you, beat you, do everything he's done, he has some major demons to wrestle with. And chances are, I'm not saying God can't do anything, but chances are, and I've heard this many times, when he does get released, it's possible that he can go back to his old ways. And you have to just be careful that you're not doing this with the hopes and the expectation that this is like a guarantee. Like you hold firm, stand firm, God is going to work. Because if he doesn't change or goes back to his ways, you have potential to get bitter all over again. And that's how the devil will get you. Because it's like, look, all these years I've been faithful you while you were incarcerated, blah, blah, blah. And then you'll feel justified to do wrong. So my concern is just to be mindful of that. Now, I'm not saying that you give up hope, or I'm not saying that you don't believe what God can do. Just what I tell people all the time, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Well, that's true, and I am fully prepared for that. I'm not the same person that I was
when
he left. And I think that's something that, because I have, like I said, during his incarceration, I have done me. I stopped all, as far as all of the letters, the writing, the going to visit, things of that nature, because there was no appreciation. But glory be once again to God, I really do feel that God is working on him in there. My husband is beginning to mature while in prison.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Sad that that's what it took or that's what it's taking. But at the same token, I'm not going to allow him to change what God has made me. You know,
Amen.
God has made me uniquely me for a reason. And I have no problems with leaving because, like I told him before, what can I lose that I haven't already lost?
That's true. You don't have him now, so why? That, you're absolutely right. You know, Joe Fuseli, one of our panelists here, has something to share as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I would just caution anyone who's in a situation where, for one, they're being abused. You don't want to take on the role of a rescuer or an enabler.
Mm.
What I mean by that is, you know, I'll stand by this man no matter how much he cheats, no matter how much he hits. You can inadvertently reinforce his bad behavior when, in fact, the Bible says, look, if someone is, in your example, cheating on you, God does give you a way out. That's not to say that you have to take that way out. But it is to say, I believe God understands that there are limits. And when people cross certain limits, then they've broken a sacred vow themselves. So you wouldn't be in the wrong in such a situation. But I'm not advising you one way or another, but I am cautioning you about rescuing people. And maybe with good intentions, you could be actually reinforcing a lot of bad behavior.
Yeah. And I agree with that advice 100%. And on the flip side to that, I think what you're doing is great. You're getting yourself strong spiritually. And you are giving your husband that opportunity. God, through you, is showing him that love that you say he's never had. So he'll have no excuse. You know, he has every opportunity to repent and change. And if he doesn't, he'll be without excuse because you've allowed God to work in your life as well.
He'll be without a wife, at least his wife.
He'll be all right. Amen. Well, amen. Keep that attitude. We love that.
I have been in other relationships since he's been gone.
You have or haven't?
As a result of, but I just believe that God has brought us back together.
Mm.
And I'm going to stand firm in that until God gives me, you know, another direction.
Okay. Amen. Well, amen.
I'm going to continue to be his wife.
Okay. Well, Michelle. I'm saying, I don't know why I said Melissa. Michelle, thank you so much for sharing that testimony. And we do hope and pray that God continues to work in your life and in your husband's life as he's maturing in prison. Amen.
Well, just keep us in prayer.
We will. We
and
will,
you Michelle. All continue to do what you do. I think that this is my first time actually even calling into anyone's ministry. But they say to be humble comes a certain level of humility. So I no longer,
That's
I'm
true.
Not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed, you know. But I just thank God for each and every one of you.
Okay. Well, we thank you
thank
so much.
You.
I appreciate your call.
All right.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, so we want to make sure you be a part of this conversation, and all you have to do is dial us at 855-454-5905. We recognize the fact that sometimes we're a little too nervous to actually get on the phone, or maybe you just can't because of whatever it is you're doing this Saturday morning. You can always post your comments and your questions to our Facebook page. Just look for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Facebook. So what are some folks saying on the book this
morning? Some folks are saying a lot. So first of all, if you're driving, don't try to post something on Facebook. That's all we, unless you pull over. We don't want to cause any widows or anything like that, or God forbid, you know, something worse. But I do want to read one. I'm going to keep this one anonymous because they sent this one privately, but it sounds like they're really pouring out their heart. And this is what this listener has to say. She said, I am listening this morning and want to thank you so much for what you just said about respect. I'm engaged and my fiance has been telling me that I don't respect him anymore. I believe it because I was starting to feel disrespected because he wasn't showing me what I wanted for a time. But now I know that I have to be intentional by going to God and trusting him to resolve any issues that I have about how things may seem. And through prayer and patience, I'm beginning to see resolution by not reacting so much and learning to keep my tongue and meditating on James 1:19. I'm learning it is easier not to make him feel as though I am attacking him when I feel I'm simply expressing a concern. But my voice tends to raise, so I'm trying to work on that. Again, I thank you for being a vessel and for helping me to realize how real and sensitive the issue of respect is for a man, particularly from a biblical perspective. So again, we thank you for that. And there are many more comments like that. This one happened to be a private message, but you can always go to facebook.com, look for Marriage Beyond the Vows, and hit the like button, get in on the conversation. We have thousands and thousands of followers that, you know, you get there and you post and you ask questions and you find out about upcoming events and all that good stuff. We can stay connected during the week. And also, if you want to tell your friends and your family members to tune in and for some reason they can't, you can always go to our station website, which is praisephilly.com. Look for me, Marcos Mercado, Marriage Beyond the Vows. And if you're in Charlotte, go to praisecharlotte.com.
All right. Those are the different ways to reach out to us. And the main way right now is our number, 855-454-5. So we want you to stay right there. We're going to come back with the final segment of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise. And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're in the final segment of today's edition of the program. Just to remind you, we are talking about marriage miracles today. So if you have a comment or a question, a testimony or a test you're trying to get through, this is a good time to call. 855-454-5905 is the number to reach us. Let's stay in Philly for a second. We have C calling in on line one. C, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. C, now, really quick, you're listening. Obviously, you called into Marriage Beyond the Vows, and I'm Marcos Mercado. And you were telling our producer that you're having a really hard time, that you don't respect your husband. Can you share more about that, please?
I'm so embarrassed.
No, don't be embarrassed. First of all, thank you for being honest and calling in. We appreciate that.
I'm going to tell on me first.
Okay, good.
I'm the type of, when my husband makes me angry, I'll say things, I'll call him. Like, he's very meticulous about our home.
Okay.
And he likes for it to stay clean and things like that.
Right, remember, you said you were going to share about you first.
I'm a good housekeeper.
Okay, remember, you're going to share about you first. Go ahead. Tell us you. Yeah. Don't tell me about
I'm
him.
I'm a good housekeeper and things like that. So, but when I get angry with him, you know, especially about things about the tidiness about our home, I say, oh, you must be on the down low. Why are you like that? I don't see anything wrong with our house. Why do you talk about it so much? What is the problem? And then...
And can you explain for our listeners what that means?
He must be gay. I don't want to say it, but yeah.
Yeah. So you, but do you mean that, or are you just trying to hurt him? Like, why are you saying those things?
I try to hurt him because, doing tick for tack, and I know that's not right. You don't do evil for evil, but.
So you get angry at your husband because he's basically a neat freak in some ways, and you're saying, well, you must be a homosexual. You must struggle with homosexuality because you're too much. It's too far.
It's too much, yes. And I say, and I tell him, I say, we both work. We are both very involved in church. We have very busy schedules. The house is not always going to be, you know.
Now, see, you know that there's some women are saying, are you crazy? Like, I would love my husband to be clean. I'm married a slob, and you have a clean husband, and that's your issue. But you're saying that it gets to the point where it's like you just feel like you're walking on eggshells in your own home.
Yes, 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 me and the kids, that's how we feel, like we're walking on eggshells. And it's like, and I feel like he's attacking me. Mm. Like, he told me I was trifling. And when I get called names like that, or when he says stuff like that, I lash back. And when I heard you say to one other woman about honor, love, and respect, I need the name of that book and the author.
That's the name, Love and Respect.
That is the name of the book, but I need the author.
Dr. Emerson, yes.
Okay. I said, oh, my gosh, I was so convicted because, you know, I said, dang, that is wrong. I shouldn't do that.
And now
we're at a point now where we're not speaking to each other. We, you know, barely say good morning. We've been married for 10 years. It'll be 10 years in September. And we have two children, and we argue, like, in front of the kids, and, you know, and he'll do things like, if he's arguing with me, he'll open the front door and people can hear, and then I really get angry, and it's not good. And sometimes I think that maybe we need to separate.
Let me talk here.
Even get along.
All right, well, hopefully you listen, because you called, right? Now, here's the reality. Two things. Number one, what you're going through is not unusual, okay? You and your husband have challenges in your marriage, and that's normal. What's not normal about it is how you're dealing with it. You're dealing with it in a very unspiritual way. And I actually want Joe and Melissa to share, because I know Joe and Melissa. I knew them before they were married. Actually, you know, even Melissa, I was there when she was baptized, and, you know, I know them, and I've seen the transition. We were in their lives through, you know, their wedding, thick and thin. And so they had a lot of bad habits as well that, like she shared earlier, she was able to overcome a lot of these things. So I just wanted them to share a little bit, like, what happens when you have that lack of love, that lack of respect, and how do you overcome? Because I want you to know one thing, see, there's hope, and you can change. Separation doesn't have to be an alternative. And I think necessarily for your situation, it might not even be the best thing, because it sounds like there's some things you both have to change with your relationship with God first. So let's hear. Melissa? Come on, Melissa.
Okay. First thing, don't be embarrassed. I think, like what Marco said, we all go through that. And there was a point in our marriage where it was not good, and there was no peace in the house. And I think that's what you're describing, is the lack of peace, the lack of order. Your kids see it. Your neighbors see it. Your light is not shining the way that it needs to be as a Christian household. And I think we went through that early in our marriage, and we got to the point where we were just really fed up. We were fed up. You know, we couldn't manage. We couldn't do what we had to do at work, at school. We were not our best for each other, for our kids, for our families. And there was a point where we had to say enough is enough. And part of it is, it's funny because Joe and I were actually talking about it on the car ride today. And you know, the more we serve each other and without any expectations, without any, you know, I'll only do this for you if you do that for me, I think the happier we'll both be, you know, because when we serve each other without any expectation of, okay, I'm going to do this if you change, I'm going to do that if, you know, you do this, we'll be happier. And, you know, Joe could talk a little bit more about that. But we got to a point where you have to just be both fed up. You know, like, who wants to live like that every day, where your home is supposed to be your haven, you know, from coming home from work, coming home from school? You know, you want to leave the chaos behind you at your door and come home to a peaceful home, and where words are hurtful, or where things are being done or said, or not even so much the words, but, you know, the silence, you know, just the cold treatment, being in the doghouse. Who wants to live like that? You know, we've been married. We're going to make 14 years. We've learned a lot of lessons throughout the years, that it's these little things that you have to really nip in the bud and just grow in as a person first, as a Christian, and then, you know, the marriage works better.
Amen. Thank you.
Yeah. Sometimes we just have to put things in perspective. I've made a resolution, and my wife as well, that if all it's going to take to make you happy, or if the biggest thing is to clean up a little bit, it's a small price to pay for peace in the home. Mm-hmm. And it just may be something to consider. Maybe the cleaning is a little over the top, but if that's going to be a turning point, something to help him to see, wow, she really does care and respect me, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. So at least for me, I had to put some perspective to some of the things my wife wanted and say, you know what, it's annoying to me, but it means something to her. I'm going to try to be loving here and serve her. And figuratively speaking, I'm going to wash her feet by making sure this is done. And that's all it takes. Sometimes it's just a made bed. And she's like, wow, that's awesome. And I'm like, well, that's easy to make a bed in my head. But hey, if that's what it takes, then I'll go ahead and do that. So you may want to just put some perspective to his demands. And, you know, maybe that'll help you out a little bit on the way.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something else that I wanted to add here, C, is the fact that you are in a covenant. And do you understand what's the difference between a covenant and just some kind of pact that you made or some type of agreement you made with your husband?
Yes, a covenant is forever, and a pact or an agreement can be broken at any time.
That's true, but you know what? So can a covenant. This is the difference. Think about the covenant that God has made with us, right? It's not a 50-50 deal. Like when we think about a contract or some kind of deal we make with someone, it's usually like a 50-50 deal. Like somehow there's fairness. Like I'll sell you this car, it'll be this amount of money. You know, that's a contract. You know, we go into this marriage, you love me, I love you back. A covenant, if you think about the covenant God made with us, it's incredibly unfair. Like we're getting a huge bargain and he's getting the short end of the stick. With marriage, we're saying we're going to love you whether you do your part or not. Now, that's not saying that there are some things that will absolutely, you know, break that covenant. But it really is more like, think of it like 80-20 or 90-10, where there are going to be times where you feel like you're the only one doing your part in the marriage. And that's fine because it's a covenant. And when we look at it differently and we start thinking it's unfair is when we start letting ourselves off the hook. And we feel like, well, we can do that. I can say this or I can do this because X, Y, and Z. Because he's so nitpicky and I can rebel. Because he's so nitpicky, then I have a right. I can be disrespectful. It's like, no. Even if he's wrong, and it sounds like he is. It sounds like he's a little bit over the top or a lot over the top. But you still got to love and respect him. And that doesn't mean he doesn't need to get help. But you're not helping him. And you're hurting God in the process, not just your husband. And you're hurting your children because Look at the example they see. And they're going to imitate that. They're going to be disrespectful in the future to their spouses because of what they're seeing in your household. So it sounds like you and your husband need to have some real honest conversation. You're saying you're not talking right now. I encourage you to spend some time praying. Do you believe in fasting?
Yes, definitely.
You know, asking you and your husband fast, pray, and then get into a conversation that's real and say, listen, what are we going to do? Like Melissa said, at what point are you going to say you're fed up, not separation, but what can we do to fix this? Because we don't want to live another 10 years, 20 years, the rest of our lives miserable. And so what agreement can we come up with as adults to figure this out? All right.
Well, he's not a real big talker. So I'm going to have to pray and ask God to create a situation where that we can come together. And
see, you're in Philadelphia, correct?
Yes.
Stay on the line. I want you to talk to my producer, Larry. He's going to give you some information. I would love to see you privately, like you and your husband. If he's open to it, I would love to just speak to you face-to-face and have him in the room as well. Because Sometimes wives tell me that husbands don't talk, and then we get them in the room, and they can't stop talking. Trust me. I'm going to tell him, tell me what's wrong with your wife and watch him talk.
Okay.
All right? So thank you so much. Right. We appreciate you calling.
All right.
Thank
Take care.
Thank you, guys. And I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a blessed and wonderful
All right.
Day.
And don't hang up the line.
Yes, please stay there. You're going to speak with Larry, our producer. One second.
Okay.
All right. If you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. Looking forward to your call at 855-454-5905. Going to the next caller, this time from New Jersey. We have Robert on line 4. Robert, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Great, Breathing Robert. We appreciate so much. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the courage to call in. I believe you have some really deep, heavy stuff on your heart to share with us this morning.
Yeah, I'm calling from the other side of the whole aspect. I'm married. I've been married for 4 years, and I'm the one who felt the disrespect. And instead of treating the disrespect in the nature of a grown up. I went up the flesh and I got physical, you know, and I put my hands on my wife, and I, you know, the things I've done is I sort of want to keep it between me and God, but it's kind of deep what I've done and what I've took in our relationship and what I've made my wife turn into. So, I mean, there's drug use, there's a whole bunch of stuff, you know, there's thoughts of suicide, there's fights with my spirit and fights with my mind at the same time, and I don't know what to do, you know. I love my wife, but I don't love myself enough to put my foot forward and actually grasp on, you know, and I left the church, and I don't tithe like I should, and I could give you a list, and we can be here until next week, and I just want to try and start to fix my problems so I can get healthy, so I can have a healthy relationship with my wife, whether it's friendship or whether we're together, because there is kids involved, you know. So.
Okay. Well, Robert, first of all, let me just thank you for calling in. I think that's extremely humble. Don't let the devil lie to you. We don't, of course, want that to happen, but the devil has a really good way of getting us where he wants us. And I think that although the things you've done are shameful and they're wrong, that God is very forgiving. But I want to say that God is forgiving, but he expects us to change. And it sounds like you want to change, just trying to figure out how. But the first thing is you got to be humble, and that's what you're doing right now. See, I would be a lot more concerned if this was going on and you start calling in and talking about all the problems your wife has. The reality is, even if she's had her problems, you know that your issues are so much greater than your wife's issues because you've taken it to another level, and the devil has taken you down that road of destruction where she's disrespectful and you got physical. You felt justified. You went out there and you've done things that you're even too ashamed to share. And so I want you to know that where you are right now is where God wants you, which is a broken spirit. However, that is the most vulnerable place to be, because what you said earlier, you've even had thoughts of suicide. When you're in a humble place, the devil knows that you can potentially change and turn around and become powerful for God. And so he's going to do everything in his power to stop that. And that's where you feel depressed and guilt. And the Bible says he's a great accuser. So he's making you feel like, you know what, Robert, you're no good. You'll never change. And those are lies. The reality is you can change because, first of all, you see it and you own it. And because of this, I believe you can help so many other people as well. Other husbands, other men, young men later on who act like fools. And instead of saying, well, stop acting this way, you can say, I can relate. I was stupid, and this is what helped me to change. And so my question for you, Robert, would be, what can we do to help you to be different, to be a different husband, and to get your life turned around?
The bad thing is I don't know. I'm so lost. Like, when I mean I'm lost, I'm lost. I'm walking in the forest with my eyes closed. At night, I sit around and I don't have nobody to talk to. I look for somebody to share my problems with, or, you know, the deep feelings that I have in the mm-hmm. I feel like there's nobody, you know. And then I try to pray, but I get sidetracked, you know. And this might be bad, I don't know how to do it, but I try to pray and I get sidetracked, and my mind starts to become a playground of a whole bunch of bad thoughts.
Okay. And here's the thing, Robert, you know you're not supposed to be doing this alone. You're supposed to be a part of a church community where you can lean on a brother, where you can have someone else and you can say, listen, this is what I'm going through. Now, do you have a church home? Do you have a place where you fellowship and you can get that encouragement that you need?
Actually, I have a great pastor, Pastor Timothy Hutton of Second Baptist.
Okay.
You know, on Washington Street.
All right. And does he know what's going on?
He knows as much as I tell him, you know. And
does he know what you told us?
Yeah, he does. Yes, yeah, he knows what I told y'all. To a point, and because of my ego, I can't seem to allow myself to, you know, and I hate to stutter, and but my ego is my worst enemy right now.
All right, so this is the advice I have for you. The Bible calls it pride, and the Bible says that pride comes before fall, before destruction. So this is what you need to do. If you trust this man and you believe he's a spiritual man, he's going to guide you. I believe, you know, if God put him in your life, or if not, then you pray, okay, God, who is it that I need to be able to talk to? I need a brother in my life that's spiritual. And you got to make a decision that you're going to share it and look your worst. Like what I want you to do is when you talk, instead of trying to sugarcoat it or twist it, just sound your worst. Like try to tell the story. Like if it's not you and you're making you look bad because it's bad. And so share it in that way. And even if that means like in the moment and you feel like changing it or lying or sugarcoating, that you say that you say, listen, I'm ashamed. And even right now, I'm tempted to want to make it look better than it is. But it's bad. Like I beat my wife. It's bad. I got high and I did this last week. And as a matter of fact, I'm talking to you right now. And there's a part of me that wants to go get high and not care. I mean, be like disgustingly honest, because the Bible says that the truth will set you free. And the same offer that I made to the earlier person, if you feel like, all right, still hard, because sometimes people feel like it's hard to talk to someone they know, and that's why they can call us on the air, or they can call me because there's no connection there. They don't have to see me other than the times they want to see me. You know, it's not like we work together or fellowship together. And so, Robert, if you're interested, I want you to stay online, and Larry will give you a contact number that you and I can get connected. All right, I'm not going to share that on the air, but for you, I'll give you an opportunity. If you want to give me a call and we want to have more conversation about this, because I think there's so much more that I can't even address right now on the air.
Yeah, I would really appreciate that.
Okay. Well, Robert, we appreciate you calling. And, brother, I want to tell you one thing. Stay strong. The Bible says that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So you will never be tempted beyond what you can bear. Just remember that.
I'm wondering where my threshold is.
Well, it's not. You haven't passed that threshold because God won't allow that. Just remember that. If it were too much, God would be like, nope, that's too much. He won't allow the devil to tempt you in that way. So what you're going through is what you can handle. You just got to get yourself strong.
Okay, and I'm really appreciative that I had this time to sit and get some of it off.
Amen. And that's therapeutic in itself. The Bible does say the truth will set you free. So I just want to encourage you again, when you talk, just be incredibly honest, even if it's embarrassing. Because you can't help a liar. You know, if this was physical and you had chest pains, and I was a physician and I ask you, Robert, how's it going? How you feel? And you're like, I feel great. Then I can't help you. Spiritually, it's the same way. If something's going on in the inside, in your heart, and you don't share it, we can't help you. So you got to be honest. All right, Robert, we thank you so much. Praying for you. Don't forget, don't get off the line. You're going to speak to Larry, our producer.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, good. And I just want to add, you know, Carlos or Joe, do you guys want to add any information here or some more to, you know, for Robert or as you hear the situation, as spiritual men, like how do you feel? Because I know that sometimes we need each other. Yeah. You know, we forget that we're not supposed to be doing this by ourselves. Yeah. I mean, we can go to some really dark places when we're alone.
Yeah. Well, Robert, first of all, man, I do appreciate the fact that you're vulnerable and you're open. That's the first step to getting help, man, and you're doing that. But Marcos is so right. I mean, there's a order to relationships. You've got to have God as your first. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice. This is your holy act of worship. So your very first relationship is your relationship to God. And then it says, don't consider yourself more highly than you ought. Your second relationship, in this order, first God, second you, you've got to have a healthy relationship with yourself. And then other people. So a lot of times we get that all mixed up and we put ourselves before God, or we put other people before God, and we end up in a mess. But we got to change that. We got to tweak that. You're not far away, but you do need somebody in your life. And I really hope that you can connect with Marcos.
Mm. All right. Well, all right, Robert, we thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate that, man. Our hearts definitely go out to you, and we look forward to hearing more from you outside of the show.
All right. Take care.
Tiffany, I think we have time for just a few more callers here. So if you haven't called us yet, don't wait.
That's right. The number to call is 855-454-5905. And definitely don't wait too long because we don't have that much time left in the program today. We do have enough time to go to our anonymous caller from Charlotte on line two. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I'm really nervous and a little embarrassed right now.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for calling. And it's absolutely fine that you decided to be anonymous, and we believe that God will work, especially as you put things out there. So don't worry about being embarrassed. Just share your heart with us.
Okay. I've been with my husband for 10 years. He's been married for 5 and together for 5. I just turned 30 years old, and so we've been together since I was 20. And I just found out a few months ago, right before my 30th birthday, that he was involved in a 9-month relationship with another female. And I spoke to her on the phone, and she told me she was his girlfriend, and she didn't know about me. And she even went so far to put him on 3-way. And I heard him say, oh, I don't have a wife. What are you talking about? And it's just been so hard for me because this is not the first time that something like this has happened. And I'm just really tired and fed up, and I just don't know where to go next.
Okay, now, did you confront your husband on this?
Yes.
And what did he say after that? Because, I mean, after that 3-way call, I mean, he's busted. He's caught.
Yeah, there wasn't anything he could say. This actually went on from November 2012. I confronted him then because I saw a number on his phone, and I asked him who it was. And he lied about who it was, or it was just someone he met, and I would never have to worry about this person again. And December, January, February, March, April, all the way into May, he was still calling this woman. I was checking his call records and all this stuff, and he was still calling her. Every time I asked him, he would give me another story. So this carried on and on and on without him telling the truth until he actually got caught.
Okay, all right. Well, let me say this, and it's probably stating the obvious. He cannot be trusted. He's a liar, and he's not serious about changing. I mean, he's only confessing when he's caught. He doesn't have, I don't know if you were on listening earlier on the show, but I shared this passage from 2 Corinthians about the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. He absolutely has worldly sorrow. There's nothing there that's showing that he wants to change. You've caught him, and that's the only time he confesses. I tell you, it's so hard, right, for you to even believe somebody when all they do is lie. So what you do is you believe their actions. You don't believe what they're saying. Okay, that's the reality. So the question is, what do you want? Do you want this relationship to work? Do you want to stay married to your husband because he's unfaithful? And you know, biblically speaking, he's broken that covenant. So you are free in a lot of ways if that's what you believe in your heart that you want. But you could also decide to stay. And so what is it you want to do?
The point I'm at right now is that I don't want to stay because this is not even the first time that it's happened since we've been married. And he's never, you know, I've actually never caught him the way I did this time. But I knew it. I knew what was going on. And he's never admitted to anything. This was happening before we, you know, got married. But I wasn't at a place where I was, you know, asking God, what should I be doing? Or, you know, is this who I should be marrying? We had issues going into the marriage. It's just issues going into the engagement that I had no business going forward. But, you know, I guess I was just, you know, young and doing what I wanted to do and seeing who was I wanted to be with.
And okay. So you don't want to be with him. So why haven't you left? You've had ample opportunities. Why are you still with him?
I don't know. And I feel like, in a way, it's so many issues with this relationship because for just the 5 years of marriage, out of those 5 years, he's been out of work maybe for 3.5. And I've been taking care of the home. I didn't have any children. He has children from other women, not from me, and I've been helping him with
that. Okay, I'm sorry. You need to stop there because you're giving me all the reasons why you should leave him, but there's no reason why you should stay, but you're staying. It makes no sense. I mean, do you even love this man?
I do, but I kind of feel like now it's to a point where I'm just so used to enabling him.
Absolutely. Like, and you know what I have to say? I'm sorry about this, but that's not love. Love doesn't do that. you know what it is, and look, I hope and pray you take this the right way, but you're so insecure that you don't have a conviction about what God has for you. God doesn't want this for your marriage, for your family, for your well-being. I mean, this is, it just sounds, it's so backwards. You know, a lot of times I hear this and it makes me cringe when people, especially church people, when they'll say, oh, you got to love unconditionally. Do you realize that God loves us? And yes, it's unconditional, but there are conditions. So it's really not unconditional. Like, Jesus died for us, but that doesn't mean we could do whatever we want and still have a relationship with him.
Yes.
And so what you're telling me is that you, and again, I don't think you're deliberately doing this, but in essence, this is what you're saying. Put yourselves in God's shoes, right? If you were to treat God the way your husband's been treating you, God would say, away from me, I don't know you. You're saying, I have a better way of dealing with this than God does, because I'm still going to love this guy and I'm not going to leave him. You, this guy, at the least, you need separation so that he could come to his senses. At the least. There's a lot more there. You need counseling, but I think what you got to understand more than anything else is what God has for you.
Yeah.
This is like horrific. Anyone listening is like, why are you with him? Like, you should have left a long time ago. This guy is, I mean, he's not loving you in any way. You wouldn't wish that on anyone. Yeah. Our heart really, you know, goes out. And it's unfortunate because, I mean, we really just have a couple of minutes left on the show. But something that I've already offered to a few people, if you could stay on the line and talk to our producer, I want to have more of a dialogue with you. But the reality is you got to focus on your relationship with God first, then your relationship with your husband. It's backwards. It's your relationship with your husband, and then it's dictating the rest of your life.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I think the part of the reason you called is probably you're saying, all right, I don't know how to get out of this.
Yeah.
And the best way to get out of it is to get out of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think you know that deep inside. You probably should have done this a long time ago, but you know what? It's not too late. And I'm grateful that, you know, because it's even dangerous. I'm sorry to lose my train of thought here, but I don't know if you've been sleeping around with your husband as he's been sleeping around, but that's dangerous as well. You got to really, really protect your life.
Yes.
Okay. Well, again, we appreciate that you're anonymous. If you could stay on the phone line there, you can speak to Larry, our producer, and he'll give you some more contact information.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
You're very welcome. And you know what? For everyone else, if you want to contact me, you can go to any of our websites. You can go to praisephilly.com or praisecharlotte.com and look for me, Marcos Mercado. And there's a way to contact me there. Just send me a private email, and we'll have someone respond and answer you. So it's not that we don't want to hear from everyone, but there are some of these that are calling in that I just want to make sure we get to talk right away, you know, on the phone today as possible. So because they're just, these things are just really heavy on my heart. And it's really pressing. So, again, we want to thank you all so much for joining us for these last 2 hours. If you just joined us here, you can go to praisephilly.com and listen to our archive shows. You can tell your friends and your family about us. You can follow us on Facebook at Marriage Beyond the Vows. I want just a quick minute just to thank you both again. You know, Scott, Cassandra, the Scots, I would say. Thank you, guys. Carlos, you know, people confuse us. They call me Carlos sometimes. But I'm so grateful you guys coming up from the D.C. area and just sharing your lives, sharing your hearts with us. Do you have any final words that you would like to share with our listening audience here?
Well, first of all, we're grateful to be here. And it's so good to experience this. You know, the last caller, I was thinking, you know, so many people need love, but they get a liar.
Mm.
And it seems like she got a liar.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that you're reaching out to her and giving her an opportunity to reach back. So
Amen.
Thanks so much for having us.
You're welcome. Sandra, thank you. Thank you, Professor.
Oh, this was great. I'm glad I had the opportunity to be a part of this. I think you guys have a great opportunity to get the help that God wants to give you through this station. So thank you so much, Marcos, for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Melissa?
Yes, this is great. Really enjoyed being here. Just seeing all the things we all have in common and we all have to work on in our marriage, and knowing that there is an answer, that God's the answer.
All right, great. And then last but not least, Joe Fuseli.
Yes, thank you for having us, and really appreciate the opportunity. Marriage is great, but it's only great God's way. So if I could close with a quick scripture, it says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind." And at the end of the day, life is short. You do things God's way. It's awesome. And then you have eternity to bask in the glory of God. So,
all right. Well, real quick here, Carlos, is this a website that they can find out more about you and more about your ministry, the D.C. Regional Church? What's the website?
I'm sorry. yes, it's dccrc.org, and you can log on there. Actually, Marcos, to be quite honest, we just changed our website, so I'll get that information to you.
Okay, we'll post it on our website. No problem. I want to make sure we get people the right address. I'm sorry to put you there on the spot there. You know, the more mature people, you know, they're not as technically savvy. But, hey, you got your iPad there and stuff. And what about you, Joe? Is there a website or some way to find out more about what
you do in your ministry? As far as the music and even the ministry, if anyone wants to reach out to us, lifewithoutasong@gmail.com is the best way for any inquiries. That's life without a song, all one word, gmail.com.
All right. Well, we thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. We want to say a special thanks to our producer, Ron, down in Charlotte, and our producer here in our home station, Philadelphia, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.